Welcome back to the I'm Moving to Italy podcast. This is Nathan Heinrich, and I would like to welcome you back to Season 4, Episode 23. I'm recording this on what is my third birthday here in Italy, which is kind of strange because I've really only been in Italy for 2 years, but for some reason I'm celebrating my third birthday. It's weird how that works out. And this is the first birthday, I think maybe in my life, that I am celebrating when I am really kind of completely alone. It has been a wonderful day. And these last few months of being by myself here in Italy have been kind of amazing and kind of a really great exercise for me to realize that I'm really okay spending time in my own company. That can be kind of a scary thing when you're not used to being alone. I mean, I grew up in a family with a whole bunch of siblings. I was never alone growing up. And the idea of being an only child, sometimes I would actually dream about how wonderful it would be to be an only child. But then I knew that in reality, I would miss all my siblings and I'd probably be very lonely. And if you had asked me not that long ago, how do you feel about spending a birthday alone, I probably would have said, I would feel depressed. I would feel many different things. But for whatever reason, I have had a truly, truly wonderful birthday. And I know talking about a birthday is probably a very, very self-centered, selfish thing to talk about. Growing up, my mom would really, really chastise us and try to train us not to use the word I so much in a sentence. We would come up to her and we would ask her a question or we would want something and she would say, you know, you're talking to me and all I'm hearing is the word I, me, me, me. And so I almost developed a complex because I had to learn how to start sentences without using the word I or me or my. And so I kind of learned growing up in a big family, especially with a mother that made sure that we never thought that the world revolved around us. But since I did spend my birthday alone here, and I'm sure many of you listening to this have spent birthdays alone as well, or maybe you haven't. Maybe this is something you've never experienced either. I have a little bit of a tradition that I do, and sometimes I do it around Christmas time or around New Year's. But I always especially try to do it for my birthday in particular. And that is, I sit down somewhere and get kind of alone and kind of quiet on sort of the eve of my birthday, sort of at the very last few minutes before my birthday, before the clock strikes midnight, and it's my actual birthday. And I will have a prayer and just sort of spend time in gratitude, thinking about what the new year will hold. It sort of grounds me. And so I'm sort of in this moment, gratitude and prayer, and it sort of crosses over from 1 year to the next year. Some of you listening to this might not believe in God, might not be religious. I don't even consider myself religious. I do believe in prayer, and I do believe in God. That's my personal belief. Totally respect. I know some of you listening to this are agnostics and non-religious people. I personally find religion itself to be the source of many of the world's problems. So I don't consider myself a religious person, but I do consider myself a spiritual person. I think all of us, whether we believe in God or not, we are all spiritual beings as well as physical beings. And so for me personally, not saying this is for everyone, but for me personally, I try to spend a little bit of time right at the end of 1 year and leading into the next year. So just in a little bit of gratitude, and it sort of sets the tone. And for some reason, this particular birthday, I was completely alone and I felt so, so good in that moment of prayer. And it was only about a 10-minute time of sort of prayer and meditation. And then it was my birthday. And I opened my eyes and it was already 8 minutes into my birthday. And I just was like, you know what I'm going to do for my birthday? I'm going to just have a day filled with joy. And so that's what I did today. I had a day where I just decided I'm going to do things that bring me joy today. And I didn't really do anything very profound. I actually cleaned my house. cleaned this apartment, and that made me feel very good, because I think living in a clean space always makes us feel good, whether we clean it or someone else cleans it for us, which is even better. But I cleaned, and everything was all clean, and I was sitting down doing a little bit of writing, and then my doorbell rang, and it was Alessandro's mother bringing me a birthday gift, and she brought me some of this wonderful dessert. This sort of always shows up in cafes and bars here at this time of the year in the coffee bars. And it's this dessert called crustoli, and it's this really, really paper thin, almost sort of some sort of fried sort of pastry, very, very thin, sprinkled in sugar. I like to sprinkle cinnamon on top of it. I know I've talked to you probably about this before. I just sort of consider it now my birthday dessert, and it's called crostoli, and it is during the period of Carnival in Italy, and different regions in Italy call this particular thing something different. And so anyway, she knows that I love that, and I sort of get excited about it because it's always available during the time of my birthday. And so she came and she brought that, and she also brought this chocolate sort of mousse stuff that's from Naples that Alessandro told her, take some of that to Nathan too. So in Naples, they have this sort of chocolate stuff. I don't remember the name of it. I should have it in front of me, but I don't. Anyway, it's very specific to Naples, and Napoletanos like to dip their crostoli. They call it chiacchiere in Naples. They dip that into this chocolate sauce, and it's quite decadent and it's quite delicious, but this crostoli is very light, and so you don't feel like you're gorging yourself, and it's sort of just something that you only have once a year. It was a wonderful way to sort of start my morning, and I had a nice visit with Alessandro's mother, and we talked and we ate crostoli together and had some tea, and then she left, and it was such a sunny day here, and it's been really cold and sort of dreary and gray for a while, and not raining, not snowy, but just gray and cold. Was like, I need to get out and get some vitamin D. So I got dressed and sort of pulled myself together, stopped at my favorite kebab restaurant here that they make the most wonderful piadinas, which are these sort of almost like a burrito, sort of wrapped up and full of, you know, this gyro meat and all these wonderful vegetables and things in it. So I got one of those and I got a bottle of water and I went to the lake that is about 20 minutes away. And I walked around the lake and I ate my piadina. Alessandro, of course, talked to me. He was so excited. He called me, you know, and he's singing happy birthday to me in his silly little cartoon voice that always makes me laugh in Italian. And so he's singing happy birthday to me. And I talked to him. And then my friend Dee from New York called me and wished me happy birthday. And we talked for a while. And she was like, you know, your birthday is sort of like your new year. And, you know, we all celebrate New Year's on the 1st of January every year, but your birthday is sort of your new year. And I was like, yeah, it really is, you know. It's sort of like your brand new fresh start again. And this is going to be a year filled with a lot of changes. And I can feel it. You know how you can always feel when there's a new chapter starting in your life? Well, that's what I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling like I'm just closing the last few pages of this chapter, and I can feel the new chapter beginning to open in front of me. And so there's a lot of changes and a lot of exciting things happening, and I'll be sharing them with you as they happen. And there's no way to speed things up here in Italy, as you know, so it's not going to happen in probably very fast, but it's happening. I can feel it, and it's exciting. And also last night, before I went to bed, and I didn't go to bed until very, very late because I was talking to my friends in California, and it just got later and later, and it was like into the wee hours of the morning. But my dear friend, Marissa, who lives in this really wonderful little tiny town called Pescadero in California, right on the coast, sort of in between Santa Cruz and Half Moon Bay, she called me, and I've known Marissa since I was a little kid, basically. Our families know each other, and we both kind of have gotten away from the lives that we grew up with, and we're living different lives. And I had just the most wonderful conversation with Marissa, and I was telling Marissa, because she lives in this little town where everybody knows everybody, and it's almost like a big dysfunctional family But I think it's more functional than dysfunctional. Because anytime you get a group of people together, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have, you know, issues. And you're going to have people that get on each other's nerves. But at the same time, you all, at the end of the day, you're all on the same team. And I was telling Marissa, I'm almost envious of you, Marissa, because you have something that I've never, ever really had. I've never really felt like I was part of a community. I've never felt like I had roots that went so deep that I really felt like I belonged there. I grew up in a little farming community, and yes, my family is very, very deeply rooted for many generations on both sides of my family in this little farming community in California. And everybody sort of knew both sides of my family. I couldn't go anywhere without running into somebody, so it was hard to get into trouble growing up because there was always somebody around watching you, even if you didn't know it. And it was great, but I never really felt truly at home there. I lived in Sacramento, I lived in New York, and I've lived here in Northern Italy. And everywhere I've lived, there's been wonderful connections with different people in every one of those areas. But I never really actually felt like it was home, truly home. And I feel like this might be the year that I find what is really, ultimately, my home. That's exciting for me because I can't even imagine what that must feel like to be a regular somewhere, to walk into a place and they know how you're doing and they can tell if you're having a bad day, or they know that you're working on a project, or they ask you about your family, or they ask you how you're feeling. They ask you, you know, how's that foot that you hurt doing? Or, you know, how's your grandmother doing? How's your mom doing? Or how's Alessandra doing? You know what I mean? And, or you can ask them the same things, of course. And there's something about that, that sense of community. I think that we all are sort of programmed to need that. I know I am. I guess I can't speak for everyone, but I know I kind of need that. And never having really felt that I had it, I feel like I'm long overdue for it. The fact that I've maybe found the area where that's going to be is a combination of exciting and nerve-wracking and kind of exhilarating and a lot of emotions all mixed up together. I want to make sure that I express to you that even though I might not yet have that physical sense of community in my life, where I really feel like there's a place on this earth that really feels like my home, you all listening to this, and most of you who are listening to this, have reached out to me at some point, whether it's email or whether it's sending me an old-fashioned letter or leaving a wonderful review on the podcast or writing me on Instagram or Facebook. In some way, I've connected with so many of you. And you all are one of the most wonderful, supportive communities I've ever, ever experienced in my life. So I want to tell you that one of the greatest gifts that you've given me is giving me a sense of community that transcends any sort of location on this earth. You're being here and you're sharing this experience with me. You're sharing your life with me and allowing me to share mine with you has really given me a sense of belonging that I didn't have any idea that I would experience. And I just want you to know that I acknowledge and I'm grateful for you because you've really helped me. This has not been the easiest journey. It's been a journey filled with a lot of comical moments. It's been a journey filled with a lot of highs and also a lot of lows and a lot of feeling of what have I done? Why did I do this? And what made me think that I would ever really fit in to this new country? Because Italy is a very interesting combination of warm and generous and closed and private. And that's coming from someone who has family who are Italian. And so those of you who are moving here who don't have the benefit of having a sort of an automatic Italian family and automatic Italian relatives here, it's challenging. And so I just want you to know that you being here has made me feel like I'm not alone. And I appreciate you so much. Today was a really, really lovely day. And as I was walking around the lake taking videos. One of my favorite things to do is take videos and pictures while I'm out in nature. It's just a silly thing I love to do. And I love being out in nature, watching the ducks and the geese and the swans swimming on a lake, and watching the mountains and the trees reflected on the water. And I was walking around, and my friend Mindy, who is one of the listeners of this podcast, another person I connected to from this podcast, who used to live in New York, very close to where I lived before I moved here. And she and I have connected and hung out a couple times, and her and I are about the same age, and we both moved to New York from somewhere else, and now we moved to Italy. And so we used to live about, without even realizing it, just about 10 minutes or so away from each other. And I just took her to the train station, and it only takes her 10 minutes on the train to get to her town from my town. And she works for the United States military, and she doesn't have really anyone here either. And so she reached out and said, "Hey, I know it's your birthday." And by the way, her birthday is also just about 3 days. Well, her birthday is about 4 days before mine. And so she's like, "Let's do something for your birthday." And I was just like, "No, I don't think so. I think I'll just be alone today. I'm really okay with being alone." And she said, "No, let's do something." And I said, "Okay, well, most of the restaurants are closed. It's Monday, so most of the restaurants are closed. And, you know, maybe we'll just get a pizza." And she said, "Okay, that sounds fine. Let's have pizza together. And I said, "Okay, let's do Prosecco and pizza. That sounds perfect. I've got this big box of crostoli that Alessandro's mom brought me, and so we'll just share that." So she arrived on the train, and I picked her up at the station. It's like literally a 7-minute walk or less from my place here. But I was already coming back from the lake, so I just stopped at the train station, met her, and off we go. And we stopped and we ordered our pizza, the pizza place is just very close. And so we came back to the apartment, parked the car. And while I was walking around the lake, Alessandro's cousin, the same cousin who has the dog that attacked me several times, those cousins, he reached out to me and said, "Hey, you know," he wrote to me in Italian, and he wrote me this big long message, and I was trying to understand it, and I popped it into my translator app just to make sure that I really understood what he was saying. And the translator said, "Hey, you know, him and his wife, we're flying out of Venice Airport on Sunday. Would you be able to drive us to the airport?" And the airport's only about 25 or 30 minutes from here. And, you know, nobody really loves driving people to the airport. But I said, "You know, sure, I'm happy to drive you to the airport. No problem." So that was something I sort of forgot about, wasn't really thinking about it. And then I get back to my apartment with Mindy, and we've just ordered our pizzas, and we parked the car, came up to the apartment, opened a bottle of Prosecco, and we're just sort of cheersing with our Prosecco and having our first couple sips of Prosecco, and my phone starts ringing, and I look down, and it's Alessandro's cousin. And I was like, "I wonder why he's calling me." And I realize he's called me, my phone was on silent, he's called me like 3 times, and he sent me some text messages. And so I called him back. I'm like, "Hey, what's going on, Carmine? Well, you know, what's up?" And he's like, "Oh, well, you know, we'll be there in about 20 minutes to your apartment." And I'm like, I was like, "Are they trying to bring me something for my birthday? Like, what do you mean you're going to be here in 20 minutes? And then I was like, "Wait a minute. When I agreed to take him to the airport on Sunday at 7 o'clock, and I realized it's like almost 7 o'clock right now, is he thinking that I'm supposed to take him to the airport today, like on my birthday? Like, Mindy and I just ordered our pizza. We're going to go pick up our pizza. Like, we just opened our Prosecco. Like, is he trying to say now his flight is right now?" And so I like called Alessandro and I'm like, "Alessandro, I don't know what's going on with your cousin, but he told me he had to like take a flight on Sunday. I said I was available. And now he's like coming here saying," I'm like, "Do you know anything about this?" And he's like, "No, I haven't talked to him, but I'll call him real quick and just figure out what's going on." So anyway, apparently somehow my translation app told me I should have read it myself. I should just trust myself and just know that I can actually read Italian and stop being so. But he had all these abbreviations and his, you know, sometimes Italians, when they text each other, they text in these weird abbreviations with lots of X's and strange things. And it's hard for me to really understand. So it really makes it hard to read and it makes it hard to translate. And so somehow the translator turned the word, it's one of the days, into Sunday. And I told him, you know, I've got an interview on Sunday, so I'm not available in the morning, but I could take you in the evening to the airport, no problem. So Alessandro's like, yeah, I'm sorry about that, Nathan, you know, about the miscommunication, but yes, he is actually planning on you taking him to the airport tonight. Him and his wife are on their way to your apartment right now with their bags. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm here with Mindy. We're just getting ready to have dinner and our pizza. We haven't even picked up our pizza. And I'm like, I don't know, I guess, you know, what should we do? And he's like, well, and of course, I can't just tell him, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know you have to take a taxi to the airport. You know, it's like $100 taxi ride to the airport, you know, whatever. They're young and they're probably just like, oh, you know, let's have our cousin Nathan, our American cousin Nathan, drive us to the airport. You know, that'll save us $100. I look over at Mindy and Mindy's just laughing and I'm just like, this is not funny. I started throwing a tiny miniature tantrum in my mind. Like, this is not happening. It's my birthday. Like, stomping my foot like a little 4-year-old. So I said, okay, Mindy, let's run and grab our pizza. Because it's ready now. We've already paid for it. No, we hadn't paid for it yet. Did we pay for it? Yes, we had already paid for our pizza. And so I'm like, we gotta run and grab it before they get here. We'll pull the car around. They'll hop in. We'll go take them to the airport. It'll be an hour. We'll come back. We'll warm our pizza up. And she's like, it's totally fine. Don't worry about it, Nathan. She's like so totally chill. She's just like one of the coolest chicks ever. So I'm just like, all right, let's just do that. So we run, we grab our pizza, we run back up. As we're running back up to the apartment with our pizza, the old lady, one of the three sisters, Le Tre Sorelle, sees Mindy and I running up the stairs with our pizzas. And I'm on the phone with Alessandro. So I'm talking on the phone to Alessandro, making probably too much noise. We're running up the stairs. She's standing by the elevator and she's just staring at us like, oh, there he goes again with that girl. This is like the third time now she's seen me with Mindy. And she's totally confused about what this dude that's living across the hall from her and her sisters. She can't figure out, like, this guy that, like, brought her flowers to make up for singing in the bathtub late at night. And now he's got girls coming in and out of his apartment, like, at all times, you know, like, with pizzas and bottles of Prosecco and stuff. She just cannot figure out what's going on. And I know she just goes back and reports to her sisters, and they all just have a little, you know, a little hen clucking fest about it. But anyway, so I just like, I look over at Mindy, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't like catch a break today. And we both grab a bite of warm pizza real quick and have another, we finish our glass of Prosecco. We run down to the car, pull the car around just as we see Alessandro's cousin and his wife coming across the park, across the street with their bags. And so they hop in and they're like, oh, hi, you know, who are you? And I introduce them to Mindy and I'm like, yeah, this is my friend Mindy. And they're like, oh my gosh, we didn't realize it was your birthday. Oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. Sure, whatever. You would have asked me to take you to the airport even if you knew it was my birthday. If let's be honest, you let a dog attack me three or four times and Alessandro four times. Don't tell me you wouldn't ask me to take you to the airport on my birthday. Can you tell I have a little bit of a bad attitude about this? Anyway, so whatever. I just put on a really happy face and I said, okay, that's totally fine. Let's go. So we went to the airport. We ended up having a nice drive and Alessandro's cousin's wife, Natalia, she speaks English very well. And so Mindy and her were talking back and forth. We were listening to music and we're talking. And before you knew it, we were dropping them off at the Venice airport. He like insists, he has this money in his hand. He's like, insists that I take this money. Like, no, 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 not the, no, 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 no. P- per favore, per favore, grazie, grazie, grazie. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, don't, come on, what are you going to do? Give me $50 or you know, what are you going to do? Like, give me like some big, huge chunk of money. Like, don't, please don't. He kept insisting. I was like, no. It's my pleasure to bring you to the airport. You'd bring me some time to the airport. We'll call it even. He's like, no, per favore, per favore. So I finally, he's shoving this money in my hand. I'm like, okay, fine. I don't even look at it. And so I get back in the car. I'm like, you know, thanks, Mindy, for being such a good sport. And I look down, it's like 10 euros that he's put in my hand, not even enough to pay the toll road. So anyway, and we end up having just such a good conversation, Mindy and I, as we're driving back. And we're just talking about life. She's talking about her career. She's opening up, kind of spilling her guts to me. It's just she's one of those people that, have you ever met anyone who you have a connection with? It feels so comfortable, so quick. Well, that's kind of how it is with Mindy. She comes from kind of a rural part of Michigan, so she's a really good Midwest kind of gal. And her and I just hit it off and just had such a nice conversation on the way home. And it didn't even hardly feel like we were gone for no time at all. So a round trip was about an hour. We get back to the apartment and we warm up the pizza, we drink some more Prosecco, we just had a nice visit. And then I ran her to the train station, and it's literally, the train station is like literally 30 seconds from the house. I dropped her off, she sent me a text. Oh, she's like, I just made the train. And so her town is only 10 minutes away. And so I just had the most lovely birthday, full of unexpected silliness. I'm going to leave you with one more sort of funny story that sort of nicely dovetails into that miscommunication that I had with Alessandro's cousin. And then we're going to get into a really great and really interesting session with Vera. But while I was down in Rome last week, Alessandro had been talking on my behalf, well, sort of on our behalf, I should say, to several different real estate agents. And, you know, we were trying to coordinate a time that we could meet with these real estate agents. And he's like, you know, there were like six different properties we wanted to look at. Out of six different properties, I actually ended up only looking at two. And so I looked at others as I drove past them, but I wasn't actually able to look at more than two properties. And so anyway, Alessandro says, you know, there's a couple agents, I gave them your number, so they're going to be calling you, reaching out to you on WhatsApp or whatever. So just be aware, they're going to be calling you from this town. And the town is a very, very similar name to the town that we live in here up in Veneto, in the Prosecco Valley, Conegliano. And this other town, I believe, is called Contigliano. And so The towns are very interesting. So he said, just make sure you're watching for Contigliano. And this woman is going to be calling you, and she's going to set up a time to meet with you. And just know, she'll probably either send you a text or she'll call you, either one. So I'm like, okay, I'll be watching. So after my second day down in Rome, I wake up in the morning and I'm just kind of hanging out around my little villa that I'd rented. And I'm sort of puttering around the house and doing stuff on my computer and waiting for my phone to ring. And then my phone does ring. And I look down, and sure enough, it's from this town that I was waiting, and I answer my phone. The woman on the other line says, "Ciao, Nathan Indrik. Nathan Indrik?" I was like, yes, sono Nathan. And she's like, you know, and then she just goes rapid fire into Italian. And for some reason, I don't know why, I could not understand what was going on. Nothing, I could not understand. Like, nothing she was saying made any sense, because I'm waiting for her to hear her ask me about, you know, properties and times and all this stuff. And she's throwing around all this information and nothing is registering. It's almost like my brain is doing this weird blank. And you know, you get to hear me each week when Vera asks me questions in Italian. And oftentimes my brain goes blank then too, but at least I can usually figure it out. And Vera is really good about finding phrases that are a little bit, she speaks slowly and she repeats things. And so I can always figure it out, because I don't have the element of stress involved. well, at this moment, I'm beginning to be more and more stressed because this woman is just going 100 miles an hour. And then I finally understand something she says. And then she says, un appuntamento febbraio 14, febbraio, alla 11. So she's saying, you know, why don't we, basically, like, I have an appointment for you on February 14th at 11 o'clock. And I'm just like, what do you mean? I'm like, so like, then I start saying to her in Italian, trying to say it in my best Italian I can possibly muster. No, I'm only here for, you know, I live in Conegliano, Veneto, but I'm only here for another 3 days. I don't have time. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be here on the 14th. And then she just goes sort of off. I'm thinking to myself, why are you being so rude to me? Aren't you trying to sell me a piece of property? Like, why are you, like, getting almost sounding hostile to me? Like, I don't understand what's happening right now. And so she just goes on and on. She tries to ask me again about the appointment on the 14th. And I'm just like, no, I don't think you understand. I don't live here. I live in Conegliano, in Veneto. And that's 5 hours away. I'm only here for another few days. So, no. And she's like, okay, cancelato il appuntamento. Like, do you want me to cancel the appointment? I was like, sí. And she's like, okay. And then I say goodbye. And I'm just like, my gosh, just rude. Like, you're seriously trying to tell me some of these properties that have been sitting on the market for years, you're not willing to find somebody in the next 3 or 4 days? I ended up extending my trip by 2 extra days. So I was willing to do that. You're trying to tell me in the next 5 days you've got nobody with even 30 minutes to just show me the property? You can't even, like, give me the address to go look at it? I was like, you know, I'm a pretty patient person by nature, but I was just like, well, that is just borderline obnoxious and rude. I was just like, forget, I can't even be bothered with this. I'm like, I'm not even gonna. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm not gonna go see that property today. So I go get in the shower and I get dressed and I'm like, maybe I'll just drive up to the mountains and look at the snow and you know, just do something today, just do something to explore the area. I pick up my phone to read a couple messages. I see my phone again and I look at this most recent call that I just had and I realize that actually the name of the city of the person of the last call that I had just received was actually not the city in the region of Rome where I was. It actually was Conegliano, the region where the city where I live. And then I was like, wait a minute. I was just talking to someone from Conegliano, like my home city up in the north in the Prosecco Valley. Like, I don't understand. And then it dawned on me. A few weeks ago, Alessandro had warned me that a woman was going to be calling me because my primary care physician was retiring and someone was going to be calling me with an appointment about getting a new doctor. And I had expected her to call long, long before this, but she never called and I forgot about it. And so the woman who called, who I immediately assumed, because I didn't pay close enough attention to the spelling of the name of the city, I didn't recognize the number, and she called up, and it was a woman, and she's asking for Nathan Enric. I just, the context never even dawned on me that this could potentially be someone from somewhere else, and I just glanced so briefly at the city, and I just immediately thought, okay, this is the name of the city of this area, Contigliano, and so I realized I had completely just canceled my appointment up here in my home city to get my doctor, my new primary care physician. And I was just like, oh great, Alessandro is not going to be thrilled when he finds out I just did this. So I call Alessandro and I tell him, oh gosh, you're not going to believe this, but this woman just called me and she's trying to, you know, I was like, I thought this was this real estate agent and I couldn't believe she was trying to set an appointment for the 14th. And I told her no. And he's like, yeah, that's crazy. I'm glad you told her no. I was like, but then I hate to tell you this, but you know that woman that you set up that appointment to call me and make an appointment for my new doctor? Well, I think it was her who called me because the number was from Conegliano and I told her to cancel the appointment that she had set for me on the 14th. He's like, Nathan, he's like, what did you do? He's like, that was so hard to get that appointment. Why did you do that? Like, I don't know how much longer it's going to take for you to get another appointment. And if you don't get another appointment and another doctor, they're going to drop your health insurance. And I'm just like, oh, geez, Louise. Context. It's amazing what can happen with context. It feels like the last week has been filled with these miscommunications in English and Italian and misunderstandings, and it's all my fault because I'm not paying close enough attention. And all I have to tell you is that if you're not careful, when you come here, the same thing is going to happen to you. And it's a lot easier to happen than you think it is. And it makes you feel pretty silly, and it's pretty crazy when it does happen. But it happens, and it's just part of learning a new language and becoming part of a new society and a new culture. It's just going to happen, and it certainly has happened a lot. My brain seems to be disconnected. My brain is going a lot of different directions these days, and it just seems to be disconnected from reality a little bit. So anyway, it's been a rather interesting week, but it's been a really wonderful birthday, and I'm really, really grateful that I got to share this day with you. I'm sitting here, and Mindy's glass of Prosecco that she left behind is still right next to me, and I've still got some Prosecco in my glass, so. Oh, there's nothing better than Prosecco. And I want to wish you a very happy Valentine's Day. If you're listening to this and you just had a birthday or you're about ready to have a birthday, happy birthday to you too. Buon compleanno, tanti auguri. And thank you for being here today and sharing my birthday with me and for being my community, my virtual community. Well, that brings us to our next segment, which is our segment with our very dear Vera Salzano. And today, Vera has a really, really interesting and very, very practical bit of information to share with you. And the inspiration for this segment came while I was on my trip down to Lazio, to the region of Rome, this past week. So here is La Vera Italia. Ciao, Vera. Welcome back to another segment of La Vera Italia.
Ciao, Nathan. So good to be back. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. How are you doing?
I'd say I'm doing fine, just fine, almost healed, so I'm quite happy.
Okay, the recovery is going well. You're still visiting the hospital twice per week.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
But it's getting better.
Piano, piano, right?
Sì, tutto piano, piano in Italy. Everything very slow in Italy. We were talking about that the other day.
Yes, indeed. Well, you must be going to a really good hospital in Siena.
Well, it's the only one in Siena, but it is very good. Huge university hospital. So you have medical students and you have professors. So yeah, you're really taken care of. But it's huge. It's like a city. So Siena, it's about a 20-minute drive from here.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's very convenient. Hopefully you don't have many more reasons to use the hospital after this.
No, next time I'll go to Siena, it will be for a, you know, a nice dinner in a fancy restaurant in the main piazza.
Oh, fantastic. Well, glad you're on the mend and slowly getting better. All right, Vera, what is your Italian question for me today?
Oggi è il tuo compleanno. Quindi, prima di tutto, tanti auguri, Nathan!
Grazie mille. Okay, so you just said, today is your birthday, so before anything else, happy birthday, Nathan.
Yes, tanti auguri, Nathan.
Grazie mille. You're actually the very first person to wish me a happy birthday, so grazie mille, Vera. Mm.
And now my Italian question.
Okay.
And as a present for you, for your birthday, it will be easy. In Italia, facciamo una cosa particolare quando qualcuno compie gli anni. Sai che cosa? Yeah, no, it's not easy at all.
Is that your idea of an easy birthday question?
No, the question is hard. the answer will be really easy for you because you just have to say C or no. So,
Okay, that's nice. At least the answer is going to be really easy. All right, could you repeat the question once more, Veta?
sure. In Italia facciamo una cosa particolare quando qualcuno compie gli anni. Sai che cosa?
I think you said in Italy, we do something very unique for, we do something very unique for birthdays.
Yeah, when someone turns
Yeah,
certain, yeah.
when someone turns a certain age,
Yeah.
when someone t it becomes turns another year older.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, that was the question. So you see, the answer is really easy. See or no?
Okay. My answer is no.
Tiriamo le orecchie. Tirare is the verb to pull.
Pull your ears.
Yeah, we do like this. How would you describe this? In Italian, we say tirare le orecchie.
Pull your ears.
Yeah. So in Italy, when it's your birthday, people will come to you and pull your ears. Okay. So grab your earlobes and pulling down. If you're turning 29, like I think you do this year, right? So
Yeah,
29,
turn 29.
29 times, okay? Right and left, and we go one, two, uno, due, tre, quattro, cinque, sei, sette, otto, nove, dieci, till we reach your age.
Oh, really? So is this person standing in front of you, pulling on
Yes.
your ears, or behind? No, not behind you. Okay, they kind of they sort of stand in front of you. Or is it more of like a? I'm assuming that it's more of like a grandparents doing to the grandchildren kind of thing. It's probably not something you do at every single age, right?
Well,
Like,
it's
you're not
mostly
going to go up to
grandparents.
your great to your great grandmother who's in her 90s and do that ear trick to her, are you?
Well, maybe for a very special birthday, yes, you could do
Okay.
that.
Okay. That's
So you
cool.
can count up to 70 or something. It's like, you know, it's like candles on the cake.
Yeah.
It depends on the family. Some families decide to have all them candles, and some decide, okay, just put some numbers, forget about it, or just one candle for tradition, and that's it. So this is sort of the same thing, but yeah, we still do it. And there is a reason for that, because back in the past, popular belief was that wisdom and maturity and even all your memories were in your ears and nose, but mostly ears, because it's the only part of the body that still grows, right? It keeps growing and growing and growing your whole life. So basically, by pulling your ears, we are taking part in your aging process. We are helping you get wiser. So we help you. We pull your ears so they become bigger. And then, yeah, sort of like that. We don't know why but we do it. So tirare le orecchie. So we come and pull your ears to wish you a very happy birthday. So buon compleanno, tanti auguri, and uno, due, tre, quattro, cinque, sei.
Grazie, Vera. Grazie mille. Well, those were great questions, and I just learned something. We all just learned something new. And if somebody ever comes up and starts pulling on your ears, it's probably because it's your birthday. At least you hopes that it's because it's your birthday in Italy. Good to know. Good to know. Well, because in last week's episode, I shared with you about my trip down to southern Italy, or I should say maybe more like central Italy, to the region of Rome, to look at properties and sort of do some scouting for some different cities and properties in that area. I was driving by myself, and I was driving at a time when Alessandro was not yet awake. So I was driving when basically here I am, I'm driving through the Italian mountains, the Apennine Mountains to be specific, and there was a lot of snow all over the place. And it was starting as the day went on, it got darker, of course, because it's still getting dark kind of early here. And as I'm driving through those mountains with all that snow, it dawned on me that I have no idea what I'm supposed to do in Italy. If, heaven forbid, my car breaks down, I hit a sheet of ice and lose control and go off the road, or even worse, get into an accident with another car. And I know exactly what to do in the United States because I have the AAA service, which allows you to just call the number on the back of their card. And within 30 minutes or less, a tow truck or a mechanic or somebody will come out and fix whatever problems you have. And if you get into a real bad accident, of course, you just call 911 and the police come. But I realized I have no idea what I should do if I have car trouble or something that I need help in Italy. And when I talked to Alessandro about this, and I said, what if I'm driving on this trip and I have problems and it's the middle of the night, and I can't wake you up in the United States, what should I do? And he said, well, in that case, just call Vera. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's exactly right. That's what I could do. I could call Vera because she not only has all the answers, but let's say I'm in a situation where I'm like really in a mess and I need somebody to translate for me or something. I would just hold the phone up and be like, parla con Vera.
Yeah, that could be a service, you know, like call Vera, right? Well, first of all, hopefully you'll never need all this information, but it's probably better, you know, to just have an idea of what you should do. And basically, it's not that different. It's just common sense, you know, all over the world. So I'll say, let's start with a car breakdown. Like we say in Italian, ho rotto la macchina. That is, I broke my car, but it's not that I broke it. It's it broke down. That's what we say, okay? So your car stops working. Let's start from the very beginning. Is it your car or is it a rental? Because that's a big difference. If you're here on holiday, or maybe you live here already, but you don't have your own car yet and you decide to rent a car for a while. Well, when you rent a car, just make sure to ask the rental company what kind of insurance you have. That's very important. And most insurances, oh, wow, that's difficult, a plural. Most insurance companies give you give you like roadside assistance. I do have that, for example. Mine is called Europe Assistance. It's sort of like AAA, like you just said. I have a number right there and I can just call them wherever I am, and a tow truck will come and either fix my car, I don't think so, but yeah, either fix my car or take it to the nearest mechanic's shop and take me there too. So it's included in my insurance, and probably it is included in most rental cars insurances, because of course they know something might happen, and especially to foreigners or tourists from other areas of Italy. So the first thing is ask about roadside assistance and what you should do in that case. And then when you get into the car, just check. We usually keep all the documents in the glove compartment. Mm-hmm. And you have the libretto, which is like a paper with all the information about your car and the insurance contract. And so you find usually the emergency number right there. So basically, your car just stopped, okay? Hai rotto la macchina. You broke your car. Obviously, if you can, if you have the chance to, you just pull aside and try not to be in the middle of the road. But if you cannot, you just stop there. And before you get out of the car, you need, and that's the law, okay? You need to wear a reflective vest. You know, those visibility jackets? And it's mandatory to have at least one in the car. So it's there somewhere. It's in your car. If it's a rental car, if it's your car, you better buy one. Because even if your car is fine, but the police stops you just for a check, you know, like they do in Italy, we talked about this, they could ask you, where is your reflective vest? And if you don't have it, you can get a ticket for that. So just keep it in the car. So before you get out of your car, you wear your reflective vest, of course, and don't forget to turn on your quattro frecce. Do you know what that is, Nathan? Quattro frecce.
Are those hazard lights?
Yeah, but we call them, well, blinkers for us are frecce, so arrows, because they point to the directions you're turning. So frecce, right. And quattro, because when you have your hazard lights on, it's the four of them that blink at the same time. So you turn on your blinkers, your hazard lights, so the four blinkers, you wear your vest, and finally you get out of the car. You go to the trunk, because usually it's there, and you find the emergency warning triangle. So it's a piece of plastic that you sort of build. It's usually in a box in your trunk, could be next to the spare tire or just in the trunk somewhere tied so it doesn't move. And you place this triangle between 50 and 100 meters behind your car, obviously, so that the oncoming traffic can see that warning sign and be careful not to, you know, just walk into your car. So that is it. At that point, you need to call someone. So you call your roadside assistance, hopefully. And well, what if you don't have that? That's a problem. I don't know, because if it's night or if it's, you know, in a remote area or something, you should call your mechanics, somebody that you know, but you're probably a tourist, so you know no one. And you could just Google something, 24-hour tow truck service, but that would be very expensive. So my suggestion is, if you rent a car, just ask for roadside assistance. You say you want that. And also, if you buy a car here, you have a car here, just make sure you add that to your insurance policy, because it's really cheap and they come and get you anywhere, anytime. Mm-hmm. So that's really, even if you just have a flat tire, you know, doesn't need to, just a new, you are not able to change the tire, they will come. So just do that. It's very cheap and it's great. Now, this is just, if you have a breakdown, if your car doesn't work anymore. Now let's talk about if you get in a car crash. First of all, hopefully not, but there are major accidents and smaller accidents. Let's talk about smaller ones first, like fender benders, you know, when there are only minor damages and no one is injured. So that's very important. So same thing. If you can, if you're not in a hurry to get out of the car because you're worried something might happen, I don't know, the engine might explode. I mean, it's just, you know, something minor. You should wear your vest and turn on your hazard lights and get out of the car. And at that point, it depends. Was it your fault? Was it the other driver's fault? Interesting. So first of all, say it was not your fault. You never know. Even if it was, just say, oh, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. Because we're Italian, you know? Oh, so first of all, don't take the blame.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Okay, that's what the other person will do if you're bumping into an Italian. So just, it wasn't my fault. Oh, what happened here? Okay, no. So if it was your fault, because of course you were the one behind and just bumped into the car in front of you, you didn't see a red light or whatever, okay, you can say it's your fault. Now, you have to politely talk to the other driver. And usually, if both parties agree on what happened, on the dynamic of the accident, you fill and sign a form that you have in your car. It's called constatazione amichevole. So it's like a friendly, amichevole, and amicable agreement. It's a form already pre-written, so it's already there. Of course, it's in Italian, but so you have to a yellow part for one of you and a blue part for the other driver. You fill it in with your, of course, personal data, like your name and last name and where you live and so on, and then the car, the model, the plate number, and then you describe what happens. And there's even a space in the center where you can draw what happened, like the two cars bumping. Yeah.
Wow.
And then you both sign in. If you both agree It was all my fault, or it was all your fault. If you do not agree, well, you better call the Vigili Urbani. So remember when we talked about the different kind of police, Vigili Urbani are like the traffic patrol control. But obviously, before you do all that, if it's just a minor accident, just fender benders, you move your cars first so that you don't stop the traffic behind you. And then just talk and fill this form in. If it's a little bit bigger, or if you argue, it was like, it's your fault. No, it's my fault. Oh, you didn't stop the car. Yes, I did. Or things like that. Just don't move the cars, or at least take a lot of pictures before moving the cars. And then you move them and you call the police, because the police will see how the cars are there. And, you know, like you see in all these movies, when they find out where and when and how fast you were going. So they really come and check. If you move the cars, it's not that easy for them to figure that out. So if it's a little bit of a bigger accident that you had, just leave the cars there. And most importantly, ask, and this is also for very bad car wrecks, ask everyone who witnessed the scene to stay there and wait for the police, because they will ask witnesses. Did you see that? Could you see what happened? Where were you? What did you hear first? Did you hear, I don't know, brakes squeaking or something? So they figured that out. So if everything is fine, you fill the constatazione amichevole. And otherwise, you just call the police and the police will decide who was wrong and who was right. Insurance will pay in both cases, if you are innocent or if it was your fault, not a problem. Insurance will cover your cost and the cost of the other car. And then the following year, your insurance fee will be raised because you had an accident the year before. So that's basically how it works. Now let's get to the worst case scenario. Very bad accident. There are victims or people injured. Don't move the car, never, ever, ever. And call 118, 118. Call the ambulance. That's the emergency number. Then they will ask you what's wrong. And at that point, they decide if you need an ambulance or you just need the police or firefighters or whatever. Okay, so just call 118. Now, there's something that is very different in Italy from the United States. I don't know about other European countries, but first of all, if you're fine, okay, you can walk, you get out of the car, obviously, and you see that there are people injured, you help them. I mean, you call the ambulance, but you also help them. You have to maybe move them from the car if it might be dangerous for them to stay in there, you know, fire hazard or whatever. Or if they're laying on the ground, we are taught, and when we get our driver's license, we are taught to like put the victim on one side, on the left side, with one leg above the other to, you know, avoid it's just a safe position. I mean, you don't have to do anything on them, perform any medical assistance, but at least make sure they're fine and touch the person. I know that in the United States, you're probably taught the very opposite, like don't touch anyone because it could be dangerous. For us, it's more important to at least try. Obviously, it all depends. If you think that person broke their neck, just don't touch them. You know, it's really, really bad. But if just moving them around, helping them to breathe, maybe opening the jacket or something can help, you have to do it. And then 118, so when you call 118, that's the emergency number, remember, an ambulance will be there very, very quickly, even if you're in the middle of nowhere, even at night, because those are all volunteers, and every single tiny village in Italy has this kind of volunteers that just get on the ambulance and get right to you to double check, so don't worry. And obviously, if someone is really injured, they will take them to the hospital. And even if you're not feeling that bad, just go to the hospital too. Go to the pronto soccorso, so the emergency room, or get into that ambulance if they tell you they want to take you to the hospital. Everything will be free, free of charge. You don't need to pay. And they will double check on you because you might, you know, have a concussion. and you don't realize, or you might have how do you say that? The whiplash. Is that how you say that? Yeah, the whiplash. Mm-hmm. And you just get that because, first of all, it's for your health. It's good to get checked by a doctor. But also, if it turns out you had a very bad case of whiplash and you cannot work for a few months or you cannot perform your duties at work at best, the insurance company will pay you for those days that you sort of missed or couldn't work at your best. So just go to the hospital. They will tell you how many days it will take you to recover, even if it's just something minor. So it's better to have that. And if it was, you know, both drivers, if both drivers were to blame for the accident, being injured is better than not. So if you go to the hospital and they say, okay, they need 10 days, so they will be softer, they will go softer on you. So just go to the hospital for your own sake and just for the insurance. And in any case, every single time, wait for the police to come. And same thing, if you witness a car wreck, an accident, and maybe, I don't know, you were driving on the autostrada, so very fast, but you see something on the other lane, or maybe a car just there, just call 118 and tell them where you are and what you think you saw. And then they'll decide if they know about it already or if they need to double check. Just make sure you tell them, even in English.
I have a quick question for you, Vera. Thank you, by the way. That's really good. I'm learning things I never knew about. Apparently, Alessandro never thought it was important enough to tell me all this stuff, and I never asked. So, you know, we don't really, this is a topic that none of us really want to think about. We don't want to be prepared for, but I guess we should be. Mm-hmm. Now, immediately, because that's the way we are as humans, we immediately start thinking about ourselves, okay? So we're putting ourselves in this situation. Here I am, a tourist, or here I am in Italy for the first time shopping for properties, or now I've moved to Italy and I have purchased a car and I'm driving around Italy and I have a problem. So you call 118 and the call goes right through, fortunately, but then what? Because you don't speak Italian yet, or maybe your Italian is so poor. What happens then?
Okay. There should be someone who speaks English. You just start saying, help, help. We all understand this. Okay. So say, help, say, accident, maybe. Accident, we should understand that because it's incidente in Italian. And then you can try and say the location if you know where you are, but you can ask English, please. And they will try to put you through. Now, I don't remember exactly when, what was it and what happened, but I think 2 years ago, yeah, someone unfortunately died because they weren't feeling very well. I don't know, it was a stroke or something. And they called 118. And nobody could speak English, so they couldn't understand. And by the time they got there, this person was already dead. So that's really bad. But probably, yeah, that's something else we could do. You could just write down a few sentences and always make sure, well, thanks God we have technology today. You have your location on your phone. Just send it to someone, I don't know, say your location, say GPS, and just read out coordinates or do something like that. Probably that helps.
Okay, so try to figure out where you are. They're going to ask you where you are, and hopefully you can figure out a way. If you're in a small town and you get connected to a local person who is a volunteer who maybe doesn't speak English, you have a better chance, obviously, if you're in a bigger city, of finding somebody who's going to, you know, speak. But if you're in a very rural area, that would be something you'd want to, you know how to ask for help and say, I'm at this location. So maybe just give us one or two sentences that maybe you could say in Italian that would maybe be helpful.
I can give you a few sentences. Hopefully you'll never need them. bisogno di aiuto. Ho bisogno di aiuto. And that's like, I need help. Sto male. This is easy, right? Sto male. I feel bad. I have something. Sto male. Or ho avuto un incidente. Ho avuto un incidente. I had an accident. Now, the problem is actually telling them where you are. If you know the name, or maybe they could just trace your call and figure out where you are, keeping you on the phone.
Maybe, but how would you
And
say, what would be the right way to say, I am located at, or I'm located at?
sono, simply sono, I am. Yeah, easy.
So,
Sono a Roma, sono a Milano.
sono a Milano, and then they would say, okay, dove in Roma, right?
Yeah, or l'indirizzo, they would ask for l'indirizzo, which is the address, and you go
Okay.
like Via Monte Rosa 5, Via
Yeah.
Monte Rosa 5. So you just say the address you're at. But if you're in the middle of nowhere, it's not easy. I mean, not even
Yeah.
for me, and I'm Italian, but if I'm driving from my tiny town to, Florence, through the woods, to the old road, not the main highway.
Yeah,
So
or even anywhere on the autostrada, which is like the freeway, you could be nowhere near a town. You're just in darkness if it's at night. And we're scaring people to death. They're never going to want to drive anywhere here.
yeah, sorry. Okay,
No,
but
but we're trying to keep it real. But at the same time, I think that if you are somewhere where you don't know where you are, you could maybe say, let me just see if I could get this right. Let's say I'm on the freeway. Obviously, hopefully, anyone who's listening to this probably has an Android or an iPhone. And they know how to drop a pin either on Google or on Google or on Apple Maps. So you open those up and you drop a pin. Now, if you're in a city somewhere, then it'll probably give you some kind of an address, or you could maybe see a nearby business and then find an address there and you can give them that address. But if I was on an autostrada or a highway somewhere and I was driving along and I didn't see a town and there's no address, I could maybe look for the last exit and say, sono in autostrada dopo il uscita, dopo il uscita Roma Sud or Tivoli, something like that, whatever the exit is, then you would give the name of the exit. That would be a way to do it. And, or primo, maybe if you're coming up to an exit, you could say primo di uscita,
Prima di,
whatever.
sì.
Okay.
No, there's one thing about autostrade, and is that, well, every, I don't know, every once in a while, but pretty often you find emergency phones. So you stop there and you push a button, okay? And so that button tells the police that there's someone with a problem right there. They will probably answer you right there, but at least they know because they know the number. Then along the highway, and that is also for autostrade, but also freeways, there are numbers, tiny numbers on the left lane, okay, with just numbers. It's like 5.8 and then 5.9. So those are the kilometers on that. It's like the milestone, okay, but it's every 100 meters or so. So you could say the name of the road is written there. And then you also have the kilometer. Obviously, it's on the left. So if you're on an autostrada and you had an accident, you're probably on your far right and you don't want to cross that to have a better look at the number there. But and then on the autostrada, there's something else you could keep an eye on. It's not for safety, not this kind of safety, but it's to have the police to get there real quick. Now, there are bridges on the autostrade. A lot of them usually, and every exit, and even more. Now, a few years ago, unfortunately, there were people throwing rocks down of those bridges on the oncoming traffic, killing people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, We had a very big problem. You know, it happened once, and then everybody started imitating them, and it was really scary because there was nothing you could do. So basically, they decided all over Italy, all the autostrade in Italy, to have a number for each bridge. So you have literally thousands of bridges. Now, every autostrada starts from zero up to whatever. Okay. So it's a brown sign below each one of these bridges, and a little bit before and a little bit after. So if you drive under one of these bridges and you see, luckily you're not hit, but you see a stone coming down, or maybe a person trying to take their lives from the bridge, you just call the police and say, I'm on the autostrada from Milan to Bologna, bridge number 75. Okay. So that's not an address, but that's also very helpful.
Okay. Just as a random, just quick follow-up question though. Do you know if tunnels also have numbers too? Because there's so many tunnels in Italy.
Yes, they do. They do have numbers and names. Every
Okay.
single tunnel has a name and it's written at the entrance.
I love all the tunnels in Italy. So many.
Yeah, because we have many mountains, right?
You do. And you guys do this amazing thing where instead of going over the mountains, you just go under them.
Yeah, it's quicker.
It's very efficient. Oh, that's so great, Vera. Okay. Is there anything else that you think we need to know about? I know we just covered quite a bit there, but do you think that pretty much prepares us if we have a problem in Italy?
No, I would say arrivederci e guidate con prudenza. That's what the autostrade machines used to say.
What was the second part?
Yeah, it was longer a few years ago. Now they shortened the message because we were all replying to the machine, not the best things. She was like, because it was a woman, like Siri, you know, like a woman's voice or Alexa. And she was like, arrivederci, guidate con prudenza. So
Oh.
bye-bye and drive safely.
Okay, well, Vera, that is very, very helpful. I actually now feel more prepared. I'm going to just check with Alessandro and make sure we have insurance. I know we have insurance on our car, but I'm going to make sure we have the kind of insurance that includes that special type of roadside service. And I hope I never need to use it. And I hope no one listening to this ever needs to use it. But maybe you're being a wonderful driver and somebody else isn't being a great driver. You need to be prepared for any situation. And I suppose if you are in the middle of nowhere and you have maybe limited cell phone reception and you have car trouble, you could find yourself in a situation where you have to sleep in your car, I guess. And so maybe along with your reflective jacket and your safety triangle, maybe you should throw in a blanket and a pillow just in case you get stuck somewhere.
And a bottle of Italian wine. You're not
Oh
driving because your car doesn't work anymore. So,
yeah. We've got it. That is our official emergency kit. I love it. Thank you so much, Veta. That was really great. And I really appreciate your help in preparing all of us for hopefully problems that we never have, but just to be on the safe side. So thank you so much.
thank you, and tanti auguri di buon compleanno.
Well, thank you so much, Vera. And very soon, we're going to be celebrating your birthday in just a couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. And I really hope that you continue to get better. And very soon, you don't have to make those twice a week trips to the hospital.
Thank you. And I can't wait to see you again next week. So you tell me everything about your birthday.
Sounds great. Grazie mille, Vera.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao, ciao. Thank you so much, Veta, for that very, very practical and very helpful segment. Any one of you who are planning a trip soon to Italy, where you're going to be renting a car, driving around Italy, or maybe you're going to be moving here and driving around, this will probably be very, very helpful to you, as you hopefully never need this information, but it's really good to be prepared just in case. So thank you, Vera. Don't forget, if you need the best Italian language coach and the same Italian language coach that I have the privilege of having, you can reach out to Vera and sign up for one of her one-on-one coaching packages. And many of you have already done that. You can find Vera at kikelanguage.com. And you can also go to my website, imovingtoitaly.com, and click on the links to Vera's site at the Learn Italian page on my website. Well, thank you again so much, Vera, and happy San Valentino to you. All right, well, that brings us to our surrounding sounds for this week's episode. Before we get into those, I'd like to very quickly thank our sponsors for today's podcast, ExpressVPN and Babbel Language. Go to imovingtoitaly.com. You get 3 months for free off of ExpressVPN, which is an absolutely essential. If you move to Italy, you're going to need a VPN service. Just trust me. There are many, many reasons you're going to need it. ExpressVPN is the best. You get 3 months for free when you use the links on my website at imovingtoitaly.com. If you're trying to learn Italian and you're struggling and you don't have a private language coach like Vera yet, or maybe you do have, but you just need a supplement to learn even better, and you want to turn on while you're driving in the car, turn on Italian language in the background and learn and talk while you're driving or listen. You want to do what I often do while I'm in the bathtub. I bring my phone and I study Italian while I'm in the bathtub. And I love Babbel Language, and they are our wonderful sponsors. I have been using them now for almost a year, and I love Babbel Language. They've really helped to improve my Italian language, and you get 55% off of their lifetime package when you go to imovingtoitaly.com. That is an exclusive offer for our listeners. So visit imovingtoitaly.com and sign up for that generous offer. And by the way, it's not just Italian that you will have for the rest of your life. You will have access to all of the languages that Babbel offers. There is not a better language learning program available anywhere. Trust me, I've tried all of them. I've tried Rosetta Stone. I've tried Pemsler. I've tried Duolingo. I have found Babbel Language is by far the best, so check them out. All right, that brings us to our surrounding sounds for today's episode. Today, I'm going to be sharing sounds from my birthday. These are sounds from people who have wished me a happy birthday today. And so I'm going to share those with you. One of the best surrounding sounds of all is my sweet little friend, Lucrezia. My friend Simonetta's daughter, Lucrezia, she called me and she sang happy birthday in English and Italian to me. And you've heard surrounding sounds from Lucrezia on this podcast before, but she called and she sang me the sweetest version of Italian and English happy birthday. So mixed into this group is that also my grandmother is wishing me happy birthday, Alessandro's mother, bringing me these wonderful desserts, these crostoli, my sister Hillary. There was a bunch of other people that left me birthday messages, but this is just a little sprinkle of them. This is what it'll be like for you when you live in Italy. People will be reaching out to you. Nobody will know what time zone you live in, but if you are loved by someone, they will find a way to reach out to you and send you a message and make sure you feel loved on your birthday. So enjoy these sounds. I'll be back afterwards to say goodbye.
This is your birthday. You just got another year older.
Thank you. I'm calling so you can wish me happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Thank you, honey. I think that's lovely.
And I love you, and I'm so glad you're having good weather and you got your Wi-Fi fixed.
Me too. Bye-bye, and have a good sleep.
Bye, Graham. Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Grazie. Wow.
Allora, in questa cioccolata.
Sì.
Allora, qua ci sono le gocce.
Ah.
Perché Sanguinaccio ha detto quest'anno non l'ha fatto.
Sì.
Perché gli è rimasto tutto là, non l'ha venduto la
cosa. Ok.
Allora, questa è cioccolata.
Ah.
Metti due gocce nuova.
Sì.
E giri.
Ok.
E poi sono i crostoli, come li chiamano?
Ho capito,
i
sì, certo.
Che fai nel mangi.
Grazie mamma, grazie mille. Grazie, però uno per te, sì?
Vabbè, è tanto.
Prego, prego.
Se te lo vuoi conservare per altre cose.
No, prego, mamma, prego. Grazie mille. E questo è?
Le gocce da mettere, se no si sciolgono, ha detto. Adesso è così, no?
Ok.
Tu metti le gocce e le gire. Poco poco.
Ok.
Resta con te, per te.
Come stai oggi?
Ma io prendo le pillole, io sto bene, io mangio.
Ah, ho capito.
Fai le tre, ma quanto ti serve? Mezzo chilo? No? Un bicchiere? Due bicchiere?
Questo è perfetto.
Ho detto io me lo fai preparare un po'. Ho detto, sai, quelle... Ho detto che il ragazzo se n'è andato. Stanno facendo le pulizie. Ho detto, devo andare senza cioccolato, ho detto, poi quando vado.
Sì. Grazie, mamma, grazie mille.
Okay. Hello, Nathan. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday you Nathan, happy birthday to you, buon compleanno, ciao! Ciao Nathan, buon compleanno a te, buon compleanno a te, buon compleanno a Nathan, buon compleanno a te, ciao!
Ciao Nathan! Tanti auguri a te, tanti auguri a te. Ehi, bravo! Non ti chiedo l'età. Comunque un gran salutone. Ciao!
Hey, I've been thinking about you all day. I've been thinking about, I wish I could give you a birthday hug. And I'm pretty sure Italy, I don't know if you're behind me, or behind us, or ahead of us. But I love you, Nathan. I wish I could be with you on your birthday. I miss you. I hope you have a fantastic birthday. And I hope you feel super special and loved because you are special and you are loved. Love you. Happy birthday. Bye.
Hey, Nathan. I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. I am at the shop and I thought, you know what? I'm going to send him a video message. So anyway, I hope it's lovely. I hope that it's wonderful. I hope you eat and drink and do all the things. And I hope you're surrounded by people that love you. And I just hope you have a wonderful day. Again, happy birthday.
You have 3 new voice messages and 11 saved messages. New message.
Hey, happy birthday, Nathan. I want to talk to you if you're still awake. Give me a call. Anyway, maybe I'll call you back.
Hi, friend. I was just calling to say happy birthday. Hope you're having a fabulous day. And have it. Enjoy yourself. I'll talk to you real soon. Love ya.
Hi, how are you? It's me. I hope this is not one of those recordings that you'll never listen to because you don't listen to this voicemail, but I hope you do. And John told me this morning it was your birthday, so I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. And, you know, we love and adore you, and I wanted to call and celebrate you because you're such a wonderful, inspiring, and amazing friend. And thank you for being our friend and for inspiring us. All right. Lots of love, and I celebrate you today. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Have a cake for me. Un compleanno a te. E la torta a me.
Grazie, amore. Now I can sleep.
I hope you enjoyed those sounds from this week's episode. Thank you so much for coming back and joining me for this special birthday episode. Tomorrow is San Valentino, Valentine's Day. And whoever and wherever you are celebrating, or even if you don't celebrate that sort of silly holiday, I'm sending you love today anyway. And I'm receiving love from you. Thank you so much to those of you who have recently left reviews on the podcast. Some of the most wonderful reviews have recently been left on this podcast. And one of these days, I'm going to read some of these reviews to you on air and just share how beautiful they are. I'm just so overwhelmed. And because of you, we still have a 5-star rating. We are the only podcast related to any topic about Italy that has a 5-star rating. That is unheard of. If you haven't left a review on the podcast and you can just put 5 stars, scroll down to the bottom of the page on Apple especially, or Spotify, and just put 5 stars on the podcast. You don't have to write anything. If you want to, I'd love to hear what you have to say. But just leaving 5 stars takes about 2 seconds. So thank you so much for those of you who have done that. Wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice today, I hope you are healthy and well, and I look forward to being back here with you next week for another episode. So until then, take care. God bless. Ciao, ciao, ciao.